become the kinds of melodies in each of your hearts that bring you joy and lift you up. If I invite you over here a little bit, they're going to try to move the cameras over here. This is our little carving of St. Paul, who is the patron of this church. This is St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Poplar Springs or Mount Airy, Maryland. And this is a carving done by one of our local artists of an oak tree, the remains of an oak tree, which grew here for many years, but unfortunately died. But this was what was salvageable from it. This creative artist was able to do this statue of St. Paul. And I want to talk a little bit about the statue of St. Paul because it's going to feed into what I'm going to try to, the thoughts that I'm going to try to share with you today. By the way, I'm going to base my homily on the reading from St. Paul, not on the Gospel and not on the earlier reading from the book of Isaiah, both of which are great, beautiful, classical texts. But you know, when I prepare my homilies, I try to listen to all the readings. I read them every single day, over and over again, and I ask the good Lord, Lord, what do you think the parish might benefit from me, your servant? And usually it's the Gospel that is the dominant thing that emerges, but occasionally it's something else, and I just couldn't shake the letter, the epistle from St. Paul to the Romans. It just over and over again, it seems like the Lord was saying, that's what you have to talk about. I don't care what else you might want to talk about, this is what you have to talk about. So I resisted for as long as I could, but the Lord broke me down. And so here I am, and I'm going to talk about the letter to the Romans from St. Paul. And it's very nice because Paul is our patron. And we know we do listen to Paul regularly in our Sunday readings. There was something very powerful about Paul. He was a small man, according to the text that we have. There's a second century document called the Acts of Paul and Thecla, female disciple of the church, and it gives a description of Paul. And almost all renditions of Paul are based upon that description that we have in this second century document of Paul. He was short. This shows him with a little more hair, but he was kind of balding, actually. This is kind of sort of a hat or a halo to signify his holiness, his sanctified status. But he was bald, according to this text in Thecla. He was kind of bent over a little bit and bow-legged. And then from a couple of things we know from either the Acts of the Apostles or from some other writings of Paul, the letter to the Galatians, we know Paul talked about being given a thorn in his flesh, in his side. And he struggled with this thorn. And we don't know what this thorn was. Some people say, well, was it epilepsy? Or was it, and you notice here, the eyes are kind of bulging, look kind of worn out. He talks about, in his text, about his eyes bothering him. And there's one text that says that the people that he was preaching to were so upset by his eyes that they wanted to tear their own eyes out and give them to Paul to replace his. So was there some kind of an eye deformation that he had that caused him struggles and made him not a very lovely thing to look at when he was preaching? So he was a great writer. He may not have been the kind of preacher one wanted to necessarily look at. So that's Paul. So he was a man who was, let's just say, conscious in a way of his body. The Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh that I must deal with. He dwelled in a body and he was very conscious of his body. in today's text, we have kind of, it's a kind of a confusing text from St. Paul. And the Lord has led me to want to share some thoughts about this with you. I'm going to be giving you a kind of an interpretation, but it's not just based upon my own thoughts. It's based upon the kind of, you know, the scholarship of the great biblical scholars down through the ages who have pondered Paul. You notice in this particular text here, just the one we have from Romans, I counted it up. He talks about life in the Spirit 11 times. 11 times, just right here in these two paragraphs. He talks about life according to the flesh, 10 times. And it's clear that he's drawing a kind of contrast. If you live according to the flesh, certain things are going to happen. If you live according to the Spirit, certain things are going to happen. Like a contrast. Then, to even make things a little more complex, he throws in another word, the body. The body. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And the risen Christ will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. So the word body is in here. And right away, this text here is from Romans chapter 11. And right away, the very first verse of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which we don't have for today's reading, says, Paul says, may you present your bodies as holy and acceptable to God. So we have three words in Romans. Flesh. And flesh seems to be kind of a negative thing. Life according to the flesh is going to weigh us down. It's going to bring us death. And so on. And then we have life according to the Spirit. And life according to the Spirit will bring us life and peace. And then we have the body. And the body seems to be a more positive thing. The word body seems to be a more positive thing in Paul. Something that can be holy and acceptable to God. Which can be overshadowed by the Spirit and can be filled with this gift of life and peace that the Spirit brings, according to Paul. So, it's complicated and it's confusing, and it's even more confusing if you were to look at all of the writings of Paul, because the word flesh, and in Greek it's a certain word, sarx. The word body is another word, soma. And the word Spirit, of course, pneuma. So when you look at the text in Greek, we can tell for sure whether he's talking about the flesh, sarx, whether he's talking about the body, soma, and then the Spirit, pneuma. You do this in the Greek. So, you know. And so we get this idea of the flesh, the sarx, is a negative concept for Paul here in Romans. And generally speaking, in his writings, it is. But not always. Sometimes, Paul, like any other person, is not consistent. And sometimes he will use the word sarx, flesh, and soma, body, almost interchangeably. He doesn't do that here. Here, sarx is negative. Soma is positive. Flesh is negative. Body is positive. I wanted to mention this to you because this text could do a lot of harm to people in the Christian faith, and it has, I think, if it's not understood correctly. Because from a very superficial reading or hearing, we can get the impression that the flesh is our body and that the flesh is bad. And that the way to be a Christian is to stay as much as possible away from the body. Stay away from the things of the flesh. Dwell in this kind of what? Spiritual realm that's detached from things physical. That's kind of how some people have taken this statement of Paul. And that's how it was taken by a lot of people in the history of Christianity. However, you go to the Gospel of John. What does the Gospel of John say right at the very beginning? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. God became flesh? If the flesh is so bad, why did God become flesh? Why do we use the things of the body, the things of matter, the things of the flesh in our lives? So we've got to be careful here. The Christian faith does not condemn our physical body. Paul's trying to teach us something here. He's trying to say, well, there's a kind of way we can live our lives. There's a kind of way in which we can live our lives which is destructive. And then there's a kind of way in which we can live our lives, and it's the opposite. It gives us peace. It gives us joy. It gives us life. And here, the kind of shorthand terms he uses, you know, if you follow the way of the sarx, the flesh, well, then you're going to live your life in a kind of destructive way, whether it be your spirit, the way you think and feel, or the way you treat your body. We can use our bodies in a destructive way, just as we can use our minds in a destructive way. We can do things that are not life-giving. We can do that. Or we can live our lives in a way which somehow contributes to the building up of our life and the building up of peace and the building up of joy. And that can flow over into our body, of course. And our body can become a beautiful gift and an instrument of joy. Something holy and acceptable to God, and something which fills us with life and peace and all the rest. So the choice is kind of like ours, but Paul is saying we can be aided in this by the Spirit. The Spirit, that inner sense of life that God has breathed into us, is with us, and we have the ability, not by ourselves alone. Because sometimes alone, if we feel like we're alone, we feel like we don't have the ability. Particularly, you know, when we have diseases, our body gets afflicted. When we're weighed down, even mentally, you know, one of the greatest killers in the world today is heart disease. And nerve, you know, a kind of an inner turmoil. A mental dissatisfaction which weighs on people and has its physical repercussions. All of that. So that's what Paul said, that's the life according to the flesh, the sarx operating there. And you know, we need to find another way to deal with our bodies. A more wholesome way to deal with our bodies, if you will. And with the Spirit, we can work our way through to this more wholesome way. Find a way, even though sometimes it can seem really tough and really hard, particularly when we are, like today, you know, we have the coronavirus, and of course that's an affliction to our bodies, but it also very much afflicts our souls. And so we're dealing with that. So can the Spirit help us with that? See us through that? Give us the ability to bring greater healing and wholeness and peace and life and joy to our bodies wearing this mask here. And it's a way we could think of this mask as, you know, it's tight and stuff and sometimes fogs up our glasses and all the rest. It can be an annoyance. But on the other hand, it's a way of treating other people's bodies in a nice way. I am showing respect to all of you by putting this mask on. And you are showing respect to my body by wearing your mask. And we have a choice. We're going to do this in a kind of life-enhancing way, live in our bodies, or are we going to do it in a more life-affirming way? One is life according to the Sarx for Paul, and the other is life according to the Spirit. That's what I think might be something of Paul's message for us today. There are things we don't fully understand. We don't have to claim that we fully understand everything. Like, for example, if we have an affliction, like Paul had an affliction, this thorn in the flesh. And so far as we know, he never got rid of it. So, but somehow he was able to find a way through the Spirit to deal with this affliction. A way that was life-giving and gave him peace and gave him contentment. That's sometimes the best we can do. But it's not all dependent upon us. The word body in Paul can refer to our physical body here. It can refer to the body of Christ, which is all of us. We are all part of the body of Christ. And sometimes when we have afflictions, like that thorn, it could be a spiritual, mental thorn as well as a physical thorn. When we have these afflictions, through the Spirit, we are connected with the whole body of Christ. So there are people perhaps in your community that can help you weather the storm. There may even be people right now whom you will never know. You will never know. And it will be because of them and their prayers for you that you will find the life and peace that you need for your existence. Right now, there might be some lady in a nursing home somewhere, totally unknown to you and unknown to her. And she is praying. And her prayers are lifting up the whole body of Christ and helping us to deal with the thorns that we have. So let us be thankful. Let us be joyful. And let us trust that Spirit of life, which Paul says we are all offered.